together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time. Somebody clap your hands. It's a wrap. That's all you got. That's all you got.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless your holy name, Jesus. You're worthy of the praise. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all you've invested in us, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to you. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you on today. We thank you on today, God. We bless your name. I praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Knowing you are already in the atmosphere, you're already on the inside, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name today, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your wonderful name. You're a need meter. You're a habit breaker. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. You're a yoke destroyer, God. We thank you for your anointing on today. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Have your way, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, God. We bless the name of Jesus on today. Glory to your name. Lord, have your way. Hallelujah, Lord God, this broadcast belongs to you, hallelujah. You've already subdued the enemy, Lord God, hallelujah. You've, oh, glory, you've already given us the victory, Lord God, hallelujah. The battle is yours, Lord God, and we thank you for the victory. We thank you, oh God, for overcoming power, hallelujah. We thank you for the anointing to overcome, hallelujah. Glory, we thank you that by your truth, oh God, by your truth, the establishment of your word and your truth, oh God. You said your word is forever settled in heaven, Lord God. So we here on earth, we come into agreement with your holy word. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. And where you say it is so, we say, Lord, let it be. So be it, oh God, unto us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come before you, humbling ourselves, saying all flesh must fall at the altar. Hallelujah, and the fire of God consume the will of flesh. Hallelujah, and we want the Holy Spirit to be large and in charge, so we submit our wills right now, Father God. I submit my will, and I say, speak through these lips, Lord God, and utter the word of God that you have given to your people. And, Lord God, you condition the hearts and the ears to hear and receive as you have prescribed it and not as we perceive it, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it is so, Lord God. And, Lord, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord God, for setting the captives free on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for opening the prison doors, Lord God. We thank you for restoration on tonight, Lord God. We thank you, and we just bless you, glory into your name, Jesus. We thank you that we'll never forget what you've done for us. Hallelujah, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. I am your host, minister, Sir Ryan Davis, hallelujah. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast on the Now Network. Thank God for all the sheep of God, the lambs of God. Thank God for all the ministers of this network. Thank God for the founder of this network, Pastor Hamilton. We thank God for you. We thank God for this platform. We thank God for all the listeners all over the country and all over the world. We just bless God for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the fire of God, but I want to go into this word. Hallelujah. I want to teach this word as it was given to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a word. Hallelujah. I thank God that we are placed in a position with him that we can hear him. Hallelujah. There's nothing better for us to be able to hear God. Hallelujah. It's a bad place when you can't hear God, but it's a beautiful place when God makes himself known to you. Glory to God. And he says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I thank God that he will silence the noise and speak to us. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not, listen, God doesn't restrict himself to a chosen few in this dispensation. If you are called by his name and you are a believer, you have the ability to hear from God. Now, some of us are going to hear on a different level, but every one of us should be hearing God for self at some level in our life. Hallelujah. If you're not, then there's a problem, and you've got to seek God for that. You've got to now begin to ask, seek, and knock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We won't find what we're not seeking for. We must seek for the way of the kingdom, okay? We must ask for his instruction. We must knock on the door, and he says, knock, and it shall be open to you. A lot of the times what we need is understanding, and our understanding is closed. But when we begin to knock on the door, Jesus says it will be open. So he will open up our understanding to receive acknowledgement from our Father. Hallelujah. He will acknowledge us, and he will give us what it is that we stand in need of. God says he knows what we need before we ask. He knows what we need. We don't have to beg God for things. We don't have to beg God. We may have to continually ask until he answers. But listen, we don't have to beg him as if he doesn't want to bless us. It's his good pleasure to bless his children. Hallelujah. It's his good pleasure. He says, when I come, will I find faith? Hallelujah. So let me get into this word. I just want to know, is anybody purposing their heart to go all the way with Jesus? Just think about that for a minute, to go all the way. It's a lot of things we can say. It's a lot of things we can speak on. But then when it's time to act it out, when, you know, the moment of truth, Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. This means Jesus chose him to be a close follower. He was one of the closest disciples. Jesus had his chosen people. There were many that followed Jesus. But then he had his 12. Hallelujah. But then of those 12, he had three. James, John, and Peter, they went on the mountaintop with Jesus, and they got to see things others didn't get to see. It was Peter that got out the boat and walked on the water. It was Peter that got the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? These men were chosen. But Simon Peter was one that was impulsive. And he began to talk big. He began to say, I'll go with you anywhere, even to prison, even to death. In the same night, he denies Jesus to save his own skin. So we got to understand sometimes we can talk a good game until we're forced to live it. So this life is not about hypocrisy. It's not about looking the part. It's about having substance in your heart. Listen, discipleship. We're talking about being discipled by Christ, not by flesh, but by Christ. Discipleship will cost you everything, including your life. You see, Peter wanted to tell God he was ready to die for him, not knowing he was going to have to die for him later. He wanted to tell God that, and God had told him, no, you ain't ready. You ain't ready. But when you get converted, I got work for you to do. When you get converted, strengthen your brethren. So there's a time of conversion. And just because you're walking with God, you're a disciple, you know him, doesn't mean you're yet there. There's a place of conversion. Listen, you can convert water to ice, but it's a process. It doesn't happen instantly. There's a process of time. You can convert water into steam, but it's going to take time to bring it to a boil. I know we got these modern-day technologies where you can flash freeze the water and stuff like that. But we're talking in natural terms, okay, of how things normally happen, aid of technology and chemicals, because God has processes. In his processes, there's a place or a point of conversion, a time of conversion. This ain't the message, but I'm just going to flow in what he's given. There's a point of conversion. We begin to utter things and say we're here, we're there, we're able, we want to, or we're going to. And then God says, oh, really? Okay. But then we like Peter sometimes, we want to backtrack. We want to get out there on the water and begin to sink. But thank God for our Savior that we can call on him and he will reach out his hand and rescue us. But what we have to do now is be honest in our assessment of who we are. You see, Jesus knows who you are. So humility is when we begin to agree with what he says. This is humility. When I agree that I am who God says I am, by the grace of God, I am who I am. This is what the Apostle Paul said. So Peter, he got out there and told God he was going to die for him, and then he turned around in the same night and denied him. Sometimes this is what many of us in the church, we do. We get caught up in hypocrisy. We get caught up in talking big, but we ain't walking big. So we have to be careful that we don't be like Peter, because you got to understand something. Discipleship is this. In one sense, to be discipled by Christ is really to prepare to die. I know that doesn't taste well, does it? But it's true. To be discipled by Christ means he says you got to hate your life. Jesus says if any man come after me to be my disciple, he's got to hate his very own life. So we can talk that, but then when it's time to prove it, that's what's going to show you where you are. Now, what happened with Peter was, he denied Christ, but when Jesus came back and restored him, he sent for Peter by name. He said, go get the disciples and Peter. Notice he didn't call him a disciple yet. He has to bring him back into discipleship. Okay? When he tells Peter, he says, you love me? He says, yeah. He said, well, feed my sheep. He asked him again, you love me? He says, yeah. He said, feed my lambs. He asked him again. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And he tells him a third time to feed his lambs. Then he brings him back into discipleship. Then he begins to talk to Peter about what's going to happen to him. He begins to tell him, he says, listen, when you were young, you picked yourself up and carried yourself where you wanted to go. He said, when you get older, someone else is going to take you by the hand and lead you in a way you would not choose. In other words, he's telling him the death he's going to glorify God in. The Bible says he's signifying the death that he will glorify God with, meaning the greatest way we can glorify God is through dying. Now, I'm not talking about we're going to physically die or drink Kool-Aid and die or jump off a cliff or nothing crazy. This ain't no suicide cult. But what I'm saying is that discipleship is to die to you, to begin to die to who you think you are. And take on the identity of Christ. And it may cost you your life. He may let you live a good long life, 120 years he might, but then again he might say, you're going to have to give your entire being for the sake of this kingdom that you say you're a part of. When it sounds good when we talk it until you're staring it in the face and you see all your dreams go down the drain for the sake of the kingdom. You see all your plans pushed to the back burner for the sake of the kingdom. You see everything you thought you were supposed to do or wanted to do put in the washer for the sake of the kingdom. And then you've got to make a decision. Do I want to keep going this way or do I want to turn and go back and pursue and do my thing? Hallelujah. So we have to be very mindful that no man goes to war without counting the cost. Jesus says no man goes to war without first counting the cost. So no man builds a tower without first counting the cost. We must understand the cost of discipleship. This is why there were many that followed Jesus, but there were certain ones he said, come follow me. And in those certain ones, some of them still weren't even ready. They weren't converted like they thought they were at the time that Jesus was given to die. It was his time to die, and all of them left him. Because that was his moment of dying. He had to lead the way and show them, you got to take your cross. You got to forsake you. I don't know why the Lord is making me go this route. This is not the message that I'm supposed to be preaching, but I'm going to flow in it. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way. We have to begin to understand that he's done laid the pattern for us. He's done laid the pattern for us. So this life of a Christian disciple is a life of self-denial. It doesn't mean you're never going to be happy. It doesn't mean you're going to be a martyr. I'm not talking about that, but it could mean that. And if it does, are we still going to say yes? Is your yes going to be turned upside down if God put a real cross in front of you? Think about that. So we got to be careful what we say. We got to be careful how we talk big, and we got to make sure that we walk in where he wants us. See, Peter wanted to die before it was time. He wanted to talk big before it was time for that. It wasn't time for him to die for Jesus. But Jesus, knowing all things, is going to tell him later on when you get older, somebody's going to take you by the hand and lead you in the way you did not want to go. And then Peter automatically starts asking questions about, well, what about John? And, you know, don't worry about nobody else. You got your cross. I got my cross. We all are called disciples. As a disciple, there's something that I'm going to have to deny me for. There's something I'm going to have to receive of God that I might not even like. But I got to say yes because it's bigger than me. It's not even about me. It's not even about you. It's about his kingdom. When we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we fail to realize that sometimes that means sacrifice. That means sacrifice on our part. Hallelujah. That means, God, look, I'm not the sacrifice. Jesus already paid it all. But then he turned around and tell us through the writings of Paul, he says, present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable, which is the will, which is your reasonable service. So we owe God is what he's saying. All of us, we are in debt to God. And that's when we get into the lordship of God. And that means we're going to have to recognize he's in charge. He's merciful. He's so merciful, though. He's not a tyrant. We don't want people to think God is a tyrant. He's not running around trying to kill people to get them to do what he says. That's not the God we're serving. He's the God that died for us, okay? But then he's, as we press into discipleship, as we press on to know him, then we have to become as he is. And that means he's going to narrow the road. He's going to tighten it up a little bit. He's going to show you his lordship. He's going to require more accountability from each of us, the more responsibility, more of a yes, more of a yes. All right, so let me get into this word because that's not what I'm supposed to be preaching. But the word that I was given is I am a witness. A witness. And I know this is not going to be done in one day, but I'll do as much justice as the Holy Spirit allows me to do. Hallelujah. I am a witness. I am a witness. Something the Lord was showing me last night. We have to understand that in God there are laws. There are written laws, which is the Old Testament laws, and then the principles throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, which are considered still as laws. But then, outside of the written law, there are spiritual laws that God himself reveals to man by his spirit. Not the law of your conscience. Your conscience, it can be corrupted, but the law of God speaks to your spirit. This means the spirit of the living God speaks to your human spirit for you to receive information to know what God's will is. Hence, he says in Romans 12:2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and holy will of God. So there is a specific will of God that we are to seek, and he has a law. He has a governing system in his kingdom which says, I am Lord, do what I say. This is the part of God that turns a lot of people off because we love to hear about grace. He died for us. He's our Savior. But if he died for us, why did he die? He died to bring us into his kingdom, right? So in his kingdom, there's a king. That word kingdom, it can be broken down into two words, king and domain. A domain is a place or geographic location where someone has dominion. Now, you got the modern-day Christian theology that says we have dominion. You have to take dominion over you, over yourself, over the flesh. Okay, you want to conquer the earth. Your body is made from earth. Through that, that's the first thing of our dominion. But the true dominion of the king is he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, meaning God is now large and in charge, and we recognize that. So now he begins to bring us into the fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Okay, wisdom is the principal thing. That means the base, the elementary, the foundation. We start there. We start with wisdom, and then we gain understanding. And after we get understanding, we receive the knowledge of the truth. And as we receive the knowledge of the truth, we've gathered through all of our learnings, we've now received the knowledge of the truth. Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what God is into doing is making us free. How is he going to do that? Through the preaching of the gospel. He says, God has anointed me to preach the gospel. He says, part of that, he says, to set the captives free, to give recovery of sight to the blind, and the setting the captives free and all that. So part of the freedom comes through the preaching of the word of God. When it's preached under anointing and it's sound doctrine, it penetrates your soul and it separates the spirit from the soul, and now your spirit hears the voice of the living God speaking. See, Adam heard the voice of God as a man walking. He says, the Bible says that he, let me go to that real quick. And then I'm going to get back into this part about being a witness. And in the beginning, when man sinned, God's been showing me some things. He's really been showing me some deep stuff, and I'm like, wow. But in Genesis chapter 2, chapter 3, after they sinned, Adam began to hide himself from God. And it says that the voice of the Lord God was walking through the garden. I'm going to try to find that exact verse here. And verse number, Lord, lead me to it, God. Verse number 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, hey, glory, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. See, what's happening is a lot of people try to hide themselves in the midst of the trees of the garden. In other words, you want to hide behind ministry. You want to hide behind church. We want to hide behind all these different things, these different trees in the garden. But the voice of the Lord is going to seek you out. Adam, where art thou? So the voice of the Lord was walking like a man in the garden, and they heard it. That's when you get into the fear of God. But see, watch this. Before that, they didn't have to fear God because they were in right standing with God, okay? But the what got them out of the right standing, hear me, don't go into your own revelation and theology. You got to hear what God is going to speak through a preacher. He's assigned this word. Watch. Because so what happens is we get stunned when we think we know. So we stop hearing. And when we stop hearing, we stop growing. And when we stop growing, then God's got to do something about it. Watch this. God begins to walk in the garden. Okay, they already done committed sin at this point, and they changed the dynamics of their relationship with God, one. Two, it changed their human mind. It changed them as a person, changed the makeup of who they were. Their nature changed because of their sin. But God's love for them never changed. So he comes looking for them. He's a God of love. He's looking for them, and he's walking. In Genesis chapter 1, if you read it closely, the word Lord is not mentioned. He's creator. He's just doing the God stuff, creating. Everybody loved that because everything God made was good. But then you get into Genesis chapter 2 and the word Lord is introduced. And so what I want to say is we enter into chapter 2 of our Christian walk, and this is where a lot of people prove who they really are. You know, we can talk a strong game in chapter 1 because we ain't been tested yet. Chapter 2, the Lord God starts giving you commandments. Well, this is what it is with Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Watch this. The Word of God says no man can say that Jesus is Lord except it be given him by the Holy Ghost. I'm a witness. Watch this. He says except it be given by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean because somebody calls him Lord, they're saved. We got to get that out of our thinking. Listen, he says on that day, many are going to call him Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So they can call him Lord and still not be in the holiness of God by the Holy Ghost, calling him Lord, but to say it within your heart that he is Lord and submit yourself to his lordship is a whole nother thing. To say it in your heart, see, that word say really deals with not speaking it, but saying it. You can say it in your heart, and now your heart gets to understand because now your heart fears God. Now, if you fear God, you're going to depart from evil. This is why the scriptures tells us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, why do we got to work it out? Jesus paid it all, right? He's Lord. He's Savior. That's chapter 1, right? But when you're going to be a disciple, you got to count the cost. Listen, he said, if you're going to come after me, take up your cross and follow me. That means do what I do. What did he do? He died to himself. The Lord, before he went to his cross to lay his life down, he's going to take it back up. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But before he went to lay his life down, he already laid it down. He already made a decision in that garden when he prayed. The Bible says that Jesus prayed and his sweat was like drops of blood. That was the will of the flesh being brought into subjection. What did he say? He said, nevertheless, not my will. So when we get to the not my will stage, hallelujah, when we really give God a yes, when we make our decision, there is no returning. There is no turning back. See, there's a place in God that he'll show you of himself that you can't turn back. There's a place of God that you go so far in him that it's not that you don't have an option to turn back. You understand that you can't turn back now. And this is the chapter 2 of your salvation now. So now he's Lord. Now we get into knowing Jesus is Lord. Family has a saying. We say, praise Jesus. And the answer is Jesus is Lord. That come from, you know, the church that my mother started out in. So we say, praise Jesus. Jesus is Lord. So this is where we got to get to. We got to get to a place where he's now Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Say a lie for a minute on that. This is the place that the Lord is bringing the church to. Why? Because he's soon to return. He don't want us lost. He don't want us playing church. My God, I feel this thing deep in my spirit. He don't want us playing church. Don't you know, listen, when Jesus cracked the sky, there's going to be people playing church. After he done took his church, it's still going to be people down here playing church. They're just going to change over the head of the church from Jesus Christ to Antichrist, and they're going to be running around with religion, calling it Christ. He said many are going to come at that time and say, I am of Christ. Many false Christs, false prophets are going to arise at that time. So we want to already be in the truth, the knowledge of the truth, an acknowledgement of God and God acknowledging us before that time comes, so we're not lost behind. You're blessed if you're hearing this. I'm going to get into this. I am a witness. Hallelujah. So I've got a few minutes to deliver this. The Lord wants us to get into a position. Speak, Holy Spirit. He wants us to get into a position with him, glory to God, where we know his lordship. His commandments are not grievous. He done took all the old stuff and nailed it to the cross. He done made it so easy for us, but we still got to obey. Obedience. Now, hear this. Obedience is expedient. God has, he rhymes. Hallelujah. God give you bars sometimes. He know how to rhyme. Obedience. Hallelujah. Obedience is expedient. Okay? Hallelujah. Watch this. A witness. So what this I'm a witness is all about is this. The Lord was really, really, really opening my understanding. I thank God for his spirit because I could not do this without him. I ain't nothing, y'all. I don't want you to think, you know, hey, this guy just preaching hard. He think he did. No, listen, you got to recognize the voice that's really talking to you. Watch this. Sir Ryan's nobody, but Jesus, the Christ on the inside, that's what, he everything. Hallelujah. I just want him to use me. Hollow me out some more, Lord God, and flow through this vessel. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I submit to you even more, Lord God. Hallelujah. Have your way. Glory to God. Watch this. We now have to get into the lordship of Christ. We have to get into the lordship. That means as we are discipled by him into dying of self. Dying of self. That means whatever he say. Whatever he say, we got to do. Yes, he's merciful when we fail short. But after a while, we got to start learning how to do it his way. Because that's thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you think we in modern 21st century church have been taught that that's all about prosperity and dominion. When we say the will of God done on earth as it is in heaven, they focus on, well, in heaven, the streets of gold and da-da-da-da-da. Well, I ain't seen the street of gold on earth yet. On earth, I ain't seen no streets paved with gold here on earth. So he's not talking about those things. We have people who are operating in the spirit of covetousness, greed, and worldliness, who have taken the Bible and twisted it for their own means. And then you got people in the body suffering because we don't want to hear sound doctrine. We don't want to evenly distribute this truth. Mm. We don't want to rightly divide this book. We want to preach it how it's going to make us, how it's going to be convenient to us. But the truth is truth. It's going to cost you some sacrifice at some level. And that ain't about you being saved. That ain't about you earning salvation. But this is how you maintain the gift. Understand something. Adam was made sinless until he sinned. He was in right standing with God until he made the wrong decision. So when Jesus comes in and washes us, renews us, he makes us new. He cleans us. He makes us holy, perfects us. But he yet has an expectation, just like he did with Adam, a sinless man. Christ comes to make us a sinless man. The beautiful thing in this dispensation is he gives us manifold grace, manifold grace, manifold grace, meaning his grace is multiplicity. He keeps on giving more grace. We thank God for his grace because he gives us opportunities to get it right. But that doesn't mean us a license to get it wrong. Often we get it wrong on purpose and feel like God is just going to be merciful. We can't play with his holiness. He's Lord, and he wants us to know that. He wants us to know that. Okay, I am a witness. A witness, what is a witness? A witness is a person who can give a credible testimony, a credible testimony. There's a principle in the law that says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Established. So if something's going to be stable and if it's going to hold water, it has to have two or three witnesses. Understand something. Jesus, who is God, he's God the Son, he's God the Word, however you want to put that, when he was approached by Satan in Luke chapter 4, we'll start in Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. When he was approached, he brought forth the credibility of two witnesses. Two witnesses. Okay, watch this. And this is what we as the church is going to have to learn. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Even the fact Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. So all he needs is two people. But a three-strand cord is not easily broken, so there's more strength when there's three. And anything above three is just even more and more and more strength, more exponential growth, manifold grace. But he requires two or three. He says, I'm in the midst. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. He says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So that is a principle that God lays out in his word. Glory to God. Now, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I want you to understand, it says he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost. So There are people who are full of the Holy Ghost. There are people who have the measure of the Holy Spirit that you get when you are born again. That's not being filled. Some people do get it all at once. You know, Cornelius, when he heard the gospel, him and his household, they got filled with the Holy Ghost the same moment. Some people get it all at once. Some people get it all in increments. Okay? So we have to recognize spirit. Some people are full, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Watch this. So Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Okay? But it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? Being 40 days tempted of the devil. So he's full of the Holy Ghost, but the devil's still talking to him for 40 days. So these folk that say, I'm so anointed, the devil don't even talk to me, they lying. You deeper than Jesus. If you deeper than Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with you. If you deeper than Jesus, I can't deal with you. We supposed to be conformed to his image. So it says here, he was full of the Holy Ghost, but here's the devil talking to his mind, tempting him. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He didn't pretend he wasn't hungry. See, what I love about Jesus is he don't front. He don't hypocrite. He was hungry. When he went to the fig tree, he was hungry. Okay? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his Father for another way. He said, I don't want to do this. He says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. He didn't go talking big like Peter. I want to do your will, only your will. No, he didn't go and tell that lie. He went and told the truth. Look, I don't want to do this. But then he brought his flesh under subjection. So that's the model we follow. We don't pretend because God already knows. And sometimes we get put to open shame because of our pretension. Is that a word? I just made it up. We get put to open shame because of our hypocrisy. Because we want to talk big, and we ain't ready to walk big. Peter got put to an open shame because he wanted to talk about dying when it wasn't time for him to die. It was Jesus' time to die. Watch this. So, glory be to God. Thank you for your instruction, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, here's Jesus. He's full of the Holy Ghost. I need you to understand that. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And what happens is a lot of believers, they're full of the Holy Ghost. They got the anointing. They dripping in it. They oily. Good thing. That's a beautiful thing. But verse number four, I'm going to skip down to verse number four. Well, I'm going to go to verse number three. It says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So the devil's still talking to Jesus filled with the Holy Ghost. He's not afraid to talk to you when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. So these folks that act like the devil run when they show up, they listen, this Bible is right, okay? We ain't deeper than Jesus. I'm not. If you are, you stay over there. But listen, here's Jesus. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. And the devil's talking to him, telling him what to do. This is when he brings himself into submission to the lordship of his Father. And this is where we got to submit to the Son, because the Holy Ghost is going to tell you to submit to the Lord. Watch this. So the devil's talking to him, and in verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus just kicked in the gear, the second witness. He's got two witnesses. Watch this. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, one witness. The Holy Spirit is part of Godhead. He's part of the Trinity. And then he uses the written word, the Logos. He's the Rhema. He's the living word. But yet he's going to refer back to the written. He's yet bringing forth a credible witness. He's establishing the truth to defeat the enemy. We got to come into the knowledge of the truth to know it, and then we'll be free. He can't toss and drive us like he wants to. He can't cause us to sin against God at will when we know this stuff. Watch this. So the Lord, he doesn't just depend on, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't just, Oh, I don't need to read the Bible no more. I'm gifted. I can see in the spirit. I can speak in tongues. No, he doesn't do all that. I can prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. No. He says it's written. He goes back to the it is written. Why? Because he needs that second witness. He's establishing it by two witnesses. Watch this. I am a witness. Now, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 1. This is what he told me to say. I am a witness. This is what this word is about. I am a witness. You are a witness. Say it with me. I am a witness. So, Jesus, before I go to Acts, I'm going to find this other verse real quick. Because I kept asking the Lord, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's a specific spot in the scriptures Jesus was talking, and he told them, he says, we speak that which we know. Let me find that real quick. I believe it's, Lord, I've got so many scriptures I've highlighted. I got to look through here. Give me just a minute. It's in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 14. Let's go up a verse to probably set the context here. I accidentally hit the wrong. That's the wrong verse. I'm sorry. I'm going to just flow and come back to it. But anyways, Jesus begins to talk to people, and he begins to talk about his witness, and he says, we know. And I was like, who is we, Lord? Why are you saying we? When the question was, the context of the statement was about him. But what he's doing is he's bringing his Father and the Spirit in with him. Hallelujah. He's bringing the Father into the conversation. Here it is. It's John chapter 3, verse 11, when he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. There's nobody there but him and Jesus. And Jesus begins to answer him. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Who is he talking about? Who is the we? Who is the our? How is he making this thing plural? Because he's bringing along the witnesses. Hallelujah. Watch this. James, John, and Peter are three men. Jesus takes these three on top of the mountaintop. These three he takes on top of the mountaintop to show who he is. But he doesn't come alone. When he brings them three, he brings two men from heaven. He brings Elijah and Moses. Now, there's so much revelation in that. I'm not going to deal with that today, but God was showing me some things that really represented. There's so much meat in that particular story. We'll visit that another day. But Jesus brings Elijah and Moses on the mountaintop with himself. And then he's got three men that he brings from the ground. So he brings two men from heaven, he himself being from heaven, being the third. Then he brings these three men from the ground, from earth, James, John, and Peter, and they meet up in the top of a mountain. So he's establishing every word from heaven to earth. He's covering both ends of the spectrum. My God, today, I am a witness. Watch this. So Jesus, here in John, he tells Nicodemus, he says, we testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. Sometimes people don't want the true witness. They don't believe you got the kind of revelation you're saying you got. They don't believe God's speaking to you. They think you're just in your imaginative realm or something. But God got a way of making things known. Hallelujah. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know. God got some preachers that know what they're talking about. He said, we speak. He's bringing forth the witness. He's saying, we. In other words, I'm speaking on behalf of the. He's saying he's speaking on behalf of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is why he told them in the Matthew 28. He says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's not just talking about water baptism. He's talking about bringing them into immersion of the person of God. Immerse them into the person of God, the fullness of God. Watch this, because you got to have the witness. Watch this. So Jesus here is saying we, because he's letting it be known that he's a witness. He's letting it be known where he came from. He's letting it be known what he's seen. Watch this. Hallelujah. Watch this. Acts chapter 1. This is where I really want to get to. Verse number 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, he did not say you were going to witness. He said you will be witnesses. You will be witnesses. But he noticed what he puts first. He says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So there's an anointing that has to be upon you. I spoke on that earlier. He says, for the Lord God has anointed me. His anointing is upon me, or the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good tidings, okay, to preach the gospel to the poor. So there's an anointing that comes upon you to make you a witness. Now, some people look at the works, the externals, as they judge it, to determine who's a witness and who's not. Well, I cast out many devils and you didn't. Listen, baby, they was casting out devils before Acts chapter 2 came along, and they still was ran from when it was time for Jesus to go to the cross. They didn't have that bold witness yet. They was casting out demons because Jesus was with them. That was in the power of the name. But then there's anointing that comes upon you. This is the next level. Okay? And on top of that, let me say something. There's there are degrees and levels. We don't want to acknowledge this sometimes because we don't know what another person has experienced or what God has revealed. But Jesus says, greater works than these shall you do. Watch this. Jesus came from heaven to earth. So he did a lot of ground warfare. But then he says that we are he raised us up together with him. So he's bringing us to heavenly places. So he shifts the dynamic of the warfare. The greater works is really when you get to dealing with the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the greater works. It doesn't mean we let these devils run rampant down here on the ground either. No, but we have to understand what God calls us to be a witness. Watch this. He says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So notice, this power he's talking about here is not the same level that they operated in before he is glorified. Before that, they was casting out devils, but he said, don't even marvel at that. So we can't get caught up in what our eyes see. We have to get caught up in what the Lord says. Lordship, I am a witness. Hallelujah. Watch this. I'm almost done. So, and this is just the beginning of this. There's so many different things that he showed me in this, and I feel like I'm not even doing it any justice, but God knows. God knows. All right. So to be a witness means this. First John, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, he says, in fact, I'm going to go to verse 13. He says, hereby know we that we dwell in him because he is in us. Okay? Because he hath given us of his spirit. So the spirit testifies. Watch. Verse 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So this is the general word of the gospel. Jesus came to save the world. We believe that. We not only believe it, we testify that because we have been witnesses. We have been witnesses of it. Watch this. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So here John is telling you he's a witness. He says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. I'm going to stop right there. So a witness is somebody who has experienced in what they're talking about. He's saying a witness, look, we handled this, we saw this, we heard this. This is what John is saying. Now, John is speaking of Jesus in the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh. But when he left, he went into heaven, and so now he sends his Holy Spirit. So now we know him via the Spirit. But John is yet not able to deny the witness of what he's seen and handled. He lived at the time when Jesus became a man and walked on earth. So he's going to be a witness and testify. And listen, there is in God a court system, because I told you there are laws. There's a court system. There's a heavenly court. Okay? In the court, there is an accuser. Often in the church, we have looked at the devil as the prosecutor. We have seen him as a prosecuting attorney, but he's an accuser. In other words, he's bringing charges against you before the court. Okay? And so what we have to do is understand what's really going on and be a witness. Watch this. Be a witness of God's righteousness. Watch this. In the court of God, the enemy brings accusations against us according to God's laws. He doesn't bring them against us according to what's wrong, but according to what's right. In other words, if he accuses you, he's going to accuse you of going against what God's word is, the truth of the word. He's going to accuse you there. And many times, to be honest, we are guilty as charged. However, to overcome this enemy, the Bible says that in Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their life unto death. Now watch this. I need you to listen real good. The blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, his sacrifice. That's why we say in that song, I plead the blood. The blood is a plea bargain. It gets you out of some things. God justifies you through the blood. Because the devil has brought a charge against you, a railing accusation. He's the accuser. That's his nature. That's what the word, the Greek word in the New Testament for devil is diabolos, and it means accuser or false accuser or slanderer. So that's his job, and so that's what he does. Okay, so we overcome him through the blood of the Lamb and the word. It says the word of their testimony. It doesn't say words. It doesn't say testimonies. It says word of their testimony. One word, one testimony. Why? Because we are witnessing or witness of the same testimony. So to testify of something means you had to have experience, to be a witness, a credible witness. In court, the court systems in America are much like the biblical courts or the spiritual court of God. Watch this. A lot of the things, the principles of the law that we have, even though the laws have been perverted, they came from what God has established, but man has corrupted it. Now, in the court system, when you are stand accused and you're on trial, this is why we call it trials. We go through trials. When you are on trial, I'm almost finished here. When a person's on trial, they need certain things to get a not guilty verdict, to get off the hook. One of the things you're going to need is a evidence. That's our faith, evidence, okay? Then you're going to need a credible witness with a testimony, with a true testimony, a true testimony. So this is how we overcome the enemy, through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony, okay? And it says, watch this. It says, through the word of their testimony. It's one word, one testimony, meaning we got to come into agreement with the blood. The blood says you holy. The blood says you washed. The blood says you made new. The blood says you're not that person that did that. Then you got to come into agreement with that. Your life it has to be a true witness now. It has to be a true testimony. Watch this, though. Watch this. I am a witness. When it comes down to witnessing, when we talk about witnessing in the church, we always talk about going telling somebody about Jesus. But that's witnessing or going, what we call witnessing. But the truth is we have to be a witness. That means you have to have experienced the power of God change your life. You have to have experienced what you're talking about. See, John says we've seen it, we handled it, we know, we speak what we know. Jesus says we speak what we see, what we know. So a true testimony comes from a credible witness, a credible witness. Watch this. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's always, the Bible says, day and night he's standing before God bringing an accusation. He goes before God with an accusation against us, and we need the blood to speak on our behalf. But then we have to be careful in that we don't allow God to find fault with us. When you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you'll see Jesus told many of them, he says, I got somewhat against you. So now we're dealing with a whole other indictment. Now we're in a whole other system. Now we only have one option, which he told every one of those churches. He didn't. You can't plead the blood against the blood. He says you got to repent. He says you got to repent. So in order to be a witness, a true witness, a credible witness, you got to have eyewitness testimony. You got to have experience to say, I know what I'm talking about in my witness stand. See, this is what happened with Jesus. The Pharisees challenged him. The scribes, they challenged him. The different people, they challenged him repeatedly. And he told them who he was and where he came from and who sent him. He told them why he was and what was going on. And he told them what was in their hearts. He read them like a book. And yet they would keep trying to find a witness against him. They would come against him, and the Bible says their witness did not agree. But Jesus says, listen, if I testify myself, then my witness is no good. But there's another that testifies of me, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says, not only that, my works will speak. So Jesus is now a credible witness unto himself. He says, my Father that sent me testifies of me. So Jesus has the witness of the we. He says we, our. When you go to the very beginning, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. So he has a witness that earth cannot refute. Watch this. I am a witness. We have to now come into agreement with God. This may not make sense to some people, but your spirit gets it. Hallelujah. We have to come into agreement with God now to be witnesses. Watch this. A true witness, because we don't want our words to be false witness. We don't want to stand in the place where God is summoning us to and speak a word and it fall to the ground. But we want to stand before God and clothe in his righteousness. His righteousness. We clothe, we put it on. He says, put on Christ. We put on Christ. We want to get to that place and we want to give a credible testimony. To testify means you have been a witness to something. You have seen it. You have heard it. You have experienced it. So if you stand and say God said it, you got to stand by it. Hallelujah. And you got to live it. Hallelujah. Watch this. I am a witness. I'm not going to be able to do much more with this week, but I'll get it together some more. Whenever the Lord gives me something like this, I get so many different verses in so many different ways I want to go with this, but it never comes out that way. But I pray the Lord has articulated this through me the way that he wanted it heard on today. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna read, I feel there's one more scripture I'm supposed to go over before I close this out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where is it, Lord God? Where is it, Lord God? Hallelujah. He says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, or everything be established. John chapter number 5. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 31. Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. So he's talking about, I lost my place here. He's talking about John the Baptist when he he spoke of Jesus. He says, "But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me," hallelujah, "that the Father hath sent me, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, ye believe him not." Okay, I'm going to stop right there. But he's basically saying we got to have more than our own witness. We have to have the inner witness. We have to have the witness of the Word of God, the witness of the Holy Spirit, and the works to follow it. In John, in Romans 8 and 16, he says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the children of God. So the Spirit of God is going to speak to your spirit to tell you that you belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth, Lord God. I pray that you would bring us into deeper depths of understanding, Lord, that we will be witnesses, Lord God. Hallelujah. You said after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, we will be witnesses unto you to the uttermost parts of the earth, Lord God. I thank you that not only are they seen, are you seen through our works, Lord God, but you are seen through our lives, Lord God, even our presence, Lord God, that you are causing others to know who you are through us as we submit and surrender our all to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I thank you that you are moving in our hearts and our minds and giving us even more clarity, Lord God, and the things that we do not know, you were making known, Lord God, and the things, Lord, you're just bringing us to a place of understanding your lordship, that we will surrender and submit and say yes in all areas in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for protection for everyone listening, Lord God. I pray for your hand of mercy to be upon them. We pray against all tragedy. We pray against gunfire. We pray against death, and we just pray against all those type of things, Lord God, that the enemy would try to bring forth, Lord God. We just bind him and rebuke his plans in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like my prayers are hitting these walls, so I'm left here wondering if you can still hear me at all. I've been here so long, my faith is getting weak, so I just have to believe. Maybe you're speaking.
Need to rest.
need to rest here. Maybe you'll speak through the silence. Maybe it's all I need to hear. Give me the patience in all of this quiet. I need to rest here and wait for you. As long as it takes, I will wait. I'll wait for you. As long as it takes, I will wait for you. As long as it takes, I will wait for you.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.